just a minute to do that work. Bless you, Destiny Monique. Thank you for being with us. Sister Valerie Marino, the Lord bless you. We're going to get right to the word. I've got something specific God wants to speak, and I want to get right to it. So I'm excited. Bless you, Wendy, again. Let's get straight to the word. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. But before we do, I'm going to ask you again, let us know where you're joining from. We want to make sure we have a time of prayer today over your region, over your territory. Again, we are in the last days, and it doesn't mean that the age is ending or the world is ending, but an age is ending. An era is ending, and a new era is beginning. God is not finishing things, but he's beginning things. So let me encourage you, the word last day deals with extremities. There are extreme things happening in the world. Extreme wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence, wars in diverse places. But be encouraged by the grace of God, that he that is with you neither sleeps nor slumbers. Bless you, Sister Mary from Riverside. God bless you, woman of God, part of the family. Karen watching from South Africa. God bless you, Adrian Renta. So good to see you. God bless you, Pastor. Gloria, so good to see you. Anna, Nina Campos, Mary watching from different parts of California. God bless you. But let me encourage you, God never sleeps and he never slumbers. Bless you, Bernadette. Thank you for joining us from YouTube. And God is always on the throne. And so this is why we can have a boldness and a confidence that no matter what the world is going through, no matter what the ages of the world are going through, you have a kingdom that is unshakable and that is immovable. It never moves because your God is a God of power and you're built upon the rock. The wind can blow, the storms can raise, but don't be afraid, for he that is with you is greater than those that would come against you. Bless you, Anna Isabel Vargas. So good to see you. Let's start with a word of prayer. We're going to get right to the word, and we're going to ask God to add blessing to the hearing and teaching of his word. Lord, we pray the grace and power of your presence just rest upon us tonight. Speak by your power, that wherever we are in the world, that your hand would be upon us, that you would strengthen us and protect us, and you would be a light in the midst of the darkness. I ask you for doors to open, for grace to abound, and for miracles to come at the teaching and preaching of your word. I ask you for the anointing that makes teaching and preaching easy. I pray that chains would be broken, that bodies would be healed, that minds would be delivered, and that souls would be saved. In the mighty name of Jesus, this we ask in the name above every name, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, somebody say amen and amen. We're grateful for that. Thank you. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. They're still working on some things, so I apologize for that flash there. We're a little bit behind on our podcast, but we believe we're right on time in the spirit by the grace and power of God. So thank you for joining us. We're going to get right to the word. We're going to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 21. This is our key verse. They're going to put that up for me. Romans chapter number 8, verse 21. And those that do not know, in California, one of the two things we deal with, every region deals with things in nature. And because of the fall of humanity, according to Romans 8, all of creation, we can read that there. Let me get there with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 21 is our key verse. And we believe creation, and we know creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And we believe that God is gonna heal creation. God's gonna deliver creation. But 22, they can go there very quickly. Bless you, Sister Violet. Bless you, Sister Gloria. It says that 22, for we know that all of creation groans and travails in pain until now. So everything created is under a groan, and it is under a travail. Travail is labor pains. A groan is a cry of turmoil, to groan. calamity, to cry out. So everything created is making a sound, but that sound, when it is not under the dominion of sons and daughters of God, is a sound, a cry, a groan of agony. Creation is in agony. Bless you, Pastor Ralph Mendez. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Everything created, they are finding in quantum physics, has sound waves in it. All matter, all particles have sound waves in it. Everything that exists, you, the car, that all matter, wood, metal, every matter or material has sound waves in it. They found it in quantum physics. Now, the science is catching up with the Bible, because in the beginning, God said, and he made what you see from what you cannot see. God said, let there be light. He divided light from darkness and created the world we see. He said, let there be firmament, and with his words created earth and land and sky and plant and animal. His words created the seen realm. That's a beautiful thing. Now, the issue is when man fell, go back if you would to verse number 20, it says that when man fell, all of creation was subject to vanity. That word vanity, and that word vanity deals with math or yotasi, devoid of truth, inappropriateness, perversion, depravity, and frailty, want of vigor. So now, when man fell, all of creation that was under man's dominion fell with it. The plants fell, the earth fell, the sun fell, the moon fell, and it became subject or under the dominion of vanity. Man without God is vanity. It is man without God is lacking the character and the qualities of godliness to rule appropriately. So everything in creation fell when man fell. For every creature was made subject to vanity. It didn't will to. Bless you, China and George. So good to see you. Not willingly, but there was hope in the fall. What was the hope? That there would come a seed from the womb and there would be redemption. Bless you, Sister Brandy. Thank you for joining to you and your family. God bless you in the name of Jesus. So God, by his Spirit, made a plan that when man fell, he would redeem creation. So I'm saying that to say there are things that happen in creation, in regions, in different parts of the world, but especially we know of here in America. You've got hurricane season in Florida. They will have hurricanes that actually begin to tear up what man has made, and creation is revolting against ungodly leadership. Creation was made to be subject. You know, Jesus, because he was the perfect image of man in alignment with God, could speak to the ocean and the ocean would obey him. He was a reflection, and what he did according to the word, he did as the Son of Man, which means the descendant of Adam. If he did it as sons of God, he couldn't tell me to do what he did and greater. I couldn't do it because I could not be like him. So here is the beauty, that God became like me so I could become like him. The Son of God became as the Son of Man so the Son of Man can become like the sons of God. This is God's power. God had not known fear or intimidation or loneliness. He never knew what it was like to have problems he couldn't meet or insecurity. He didn't know what it was like to have powerlessness. So God had to become like us so he could deliver us. You cannot deliver what you cannot understand. God became like man to deliver man and bring them back to their rulership. Bless you, Brother Ray. Thank you for joining us. Are you listening? So when man fell, all of creation fell. So in Florida, there are hurricanes. In parts of the Midwest and the Mideast, they've got tornadoes. And tornadoes will actually touch the ground and lift up houses and within seconds turn cities upside down. Creation is revolting. That they have animals and raging tsunamis, and you have all creation in revolt because the sons of God are not in position. If you could go back to verse 19, the earnest expectation, which means all eager anticipation. You ever been eager for something? You ever been hungry for something? The eager expectation of creation is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. Let me give you this concept here. You see, the Bible says when Jesus, after 30 years of development, let me encourage you, do not abort your development. Don't leave and try to begin your destiny before the time. Jesus waited 30 years for 3 years of ministry. And after 30 years of development, at 12 years old, he wanted to circumvent. Now, he didn't sin because he submitted to his parents. Now, if he would have not obeyed his mother, I'm in Luke 2 now, 52, 49, 48, but we're not going there. Keep it there. Everything in creation is waiting. And he submitted with her and went back down with his mother. He wanted to preach. It wasn't time to preach. She said, come back with us. Come back with your, and learn cabinets, learn the development. And 30 years total, 18 years later, after he had developed in destiny, after the fear and the insecurity and the offenses and the attitudes and the all the things had to be dealt with, and he was sinless. I believe that. Jesus was sinless, but he was tempted in every manner like we were tempted. After 30 years, the first son came out of the water. I'm in the end of Matthew chapter 3 now. And the Bible says the heavens rent when Jesus submitted to the baptism of John under the spirit of Elijah. The heavens opened. Even Jesus had to submit to the old before the new could begin. Before the new era could begin, the greatest of the old was John, because John came in the spirit of Elijah. He that is born of a woman, the greatest is John, but he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Jesus was the kingdom and is the way into the kingdom for you and I. Now the heavens are open. The spirit descends like a dove and a voice from heaven. I'm going to read this to you. Go to Matthew chapter 3. A voice from heaven comes. Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to Matthew chapter 3, and the Bible says, Matthew 3:15, and Jesus answered and said, allow it to be so. So Jesus said, John, you're going to have to baptize me. John says, I'm not worthy to buckle your shoes. The leaser is baptized by, I can't do that. He said, suffer it so to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? It's been written that I must fulfill the old. If Jesus would have never submitted to the old, he could not start the new. If he would have never submitted to the baptism of John under the inspiration of the spirit of Elijah, the heavens will not open, because the hearts of the fathers must turn to the hearts of the children. One generation was bridged to the next. Now, the Bible says, suffer it so it becomes us to fulfill all that was written, or all righteousness. Verse 16, and when he was baptized, when the word that was fully mature, hear me by the Spirit, a fully developed word, not a partially developed word, not a partially promoted word. We get anxious, we get wounded, we get offended, and we leave before time, and we go into wandering. Heavens will not open, no matter how anointed you are, if you're not processed and under godly authority. That is the greatest, should be the greatest fear of sons of God, to live under a closed heaven for the rest of their lives. So submit to the Father God ordained for you. The Bible says that he was baptized, and the heavens opened, and they saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and now the Holy Ghost came on him. It remained on him. But here is the declaration, verse 17. Here is the proclamation. And a voice came from heaven. God himself spoke over the word and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So immediately the voice of the Father is affirming Jesus. There are no miracles in the life of Jesus until he is affirmed from heaven and he is baptized by an earthly authority. Even though John doesn't feel qualified to do it, he represents the old. There must be God and a man or woman of God whom you've been assigned, or the heavens will stay closed the rest of your life. The scripture tells us, now God affirms, because when you affirm, you give power. When you are infirmed, you've lost power. A spirit of infirmity is a spirit of lost power. It's a spirit of powerlessness. God wants to break that off of us. He wants, but before God can affirm you, you've got to be processed. See, people want affirmation before people get processed. People want their name and lights and to be promoted before they've gone through the testing. You cannot be affirmed until you've been proven. Otherwise, you'll blow away like chaff. Bless you, Apostle Levi, all the way from wonderful UK, London, and the house of Levi. Good to see you, man of God. The Lord bless you and keep your ministry. We can't wait to see you soon. The scripture tells us that now the heavens open. Now, here's what takes place. I need you to get this. When the Father says to the first son, not the only, the first, for he's the first among many, this is my son, hear him, listen to him. This is the one I'm well pleased. God affirms him now. Everything in creation obeys Jesus like it obeys the Father. Everything in creation must listen, must obey. Now the animals have to obey. Now the son has to obey. See, Jesus is asleep in a boat and he wakes up, and the Bible says the first thing he does, he rebukes the wind because it was a storm of wind. Then he speaks, peace be still, to the storm, and the storm obeys him. Creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything in creation begin to celebrate because there is a fully developed son who is now being revealed to creation. And now the curse that was on the land since Adam fell was no longer on the land, and everywhere his foot touched his soul, it became kingdom soil. So now the Bible says the trees can clap and the mountains can sing. Now there's a sound, not of a groan or a cry. It's jubilee. The plants are celebrating. The animals are celebrating. The sun is celebrating. The moon is celebrating. The stars are rejoicing. The heavens are rejoicing. Demons are crying out. Angels are snapping to attention. And now for 3.5 years, the Bible says every word he says comes to pass. He's got power over all flesh. Then the Father says, give it back to me. Would you give that power back? You see, everything he gives you, he asks you for it back. You don't have to like it. I said, everything he offers you, he asks you to get it back. Bless you, Pastor Sharon, the Lord bless you. Everything he offers you, he says, give it back to me. And now Jesus says, if it's possible, let this cup pass. 3 times, submits, and now the first son, not the only. Adam was the son, but never fully developed. Now the first begotten son of the womb, not the only son, is now buried into the earth. Bless you, Sister Eunice. And guess what happens when he lets himself die? Remember, no one took his life. He gave his life. And because he gave his life, the Father said, you've got power to pick it up again. See, nails didn't kill him. Just so you know, the lashes didn't kill him. The piercing in the side didn't kill him. The blood loss didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says. He let himself die. No one could kill the master. He submitted to death. Death didn't have power over him, but he sowed himself into the lower parts of the earth so he could get a jailbreak. Are you listening? Now, when the first manifested son from the womb, the only one from the womb, we've got to be reborn. When the first son from the womb, that's why we're not aborting, we're going all the way with Jesus. When the first son was when he was now covered up again, something happened to the son. The son refused to shine. The son saw the son, the manifested son, Jesus, and he's now covered up again. He's not in the earth. And the son grew angry and it refused to shine. The earth saw the son of God sown back into the earth, and the earth got mad and it started shaking and reeling, and there was an earthquake. The rocks grew angry and started splitting into two. Poof, poof. Rocks were angry. Everything in creation was angry. Are you listening to me? Because why? The sun, the head, the ruler of earth was now covered up again, but now the earth is still waiting. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? In California, we've got two major creation or two major issues that arise constantly in our region in California. Number one, they are earthquakes. The earth shakes constantly. It's not because we're on a fault line. It's not because of the San Andreas line plates moving. It's because there's a shaking coming, and God needs righteous leadership. God needs heads of state, heads of government, heads of business, heads of churches ready. And so number one, the first thing we see is we begin to see earthquakes. Now, the Bible says one of the signs of the times, there will be earthquakes in places there's not normally earthquakes, like New York a couple of months ago, like places where you don't normally see shakings. So a sign of the time and the end of an era, not the world, the end of an age, is the earth begins to shake where it doesn't normally shake. Are you listening? Number one. Number two, we've got wildfires. Just about every year we have a fire season, and for some reason we had an extreme heat wave, 110 degrees, 115 degrees, 120 in some parts, 125 in some parts of Indio and Palm Springs, and this is the end of September, or this is the beginning of September when it's usually cooling down in the 90s and 80s. It jumped. And all of a sudden, wildfires begin to show up in the mountains. And I'm going to repeat to you, this is God's intention. Let me read this to you, Romans 8:21. Then we're going to Psalms 83:14. I said, Lord, what's happening? Now, where I live, I'm about an hour outside of LA, give or take. If there's no traffic, by God's grace, less than an hour. But if there's traffic, it could take 3 hours to get here. So I bind that traffic devil in Jesus' name. But I'm about an hour outside of Los Angeles, and I've got mountains in front of me, Big Bear Mountains. I got mountains behind me. I've got mountains to my left. So we're kind of in a valley, and we're surrounded by mountains. And I said, Lord, what's taking place? And he said, son, I need you to study the word. I need you to incline your ear to what I'm saying. And God spoke to me this morning. Let me read creation and the creature itself. We'll be delivered from the bondage, which is slavery, that comes from corrupted government, corrupted business owners, corrupted leadership. All corruption produces slavery. Corruption is not just perversion or wickedness. It is perverted power, perverted authority. It is wickedness. It is sin. It is a lack of character, but it's not corruption till it's in a seat of authority. So when someone in authority is not using their authority for the good of the people, for the good of the kingdom of God, for the sake of truth and righteousness, it becomes corruption. And what we're seeing is slavery internationally, in UK, in South Africa, in the nation of Pakistan, in America. We're watching the corrupted people after positions of power to bring bondage to our generation. And the church must understand we've got to rise up. And I know we're going to heaven, but we're not going until some things are fulfilled. I believe in rapture. I believe in getting ready to go. But before we go, there will be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, Ephesians 5. Before we go, the gates of hell will not prevail. And God will give the church give the keys to the church. And whatever we bind on the earth will be bound. Hell is about to run. That's Matthew 16. Before we leave, there are some things that must be fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle, not one word will pass away before heaven and earth will pass before one word, one jot or tittle ever fails. What God said he's going to do. He'll have an army. He'll have a people. He'll have an ecclesia that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established on top of the mountains, and all people will run to it. That God will let the light of his glory arise and shine. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise and shine, for thy light has come. And that bondage and corruption will be removed through glorious freedom of God's children. God needs his sons and daughters to arise. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. My light has come. Something specific for you that God gave you, he's about to manifest. And when this light comes, you're going to elevate, then you're going to illuminate. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, you're about to elevate, then you're going to illuminate. After until you elevate and you illuminate what God said to you for you is coming to you. Your light is coming. As your light comes, then the glory of the Lord will rise up on you. God said, the darkness has grown dark. Verse 2, great darkness has covered the earth. Darkness has covered the earth. An exceedingly deception has covered the people. So you're going to watch global moves of darkness. You're going to watch darkness cover the entire world. Global shutdowns, not regional, not national, international moves of darkness like COVID 2020 through 2022. Movements of global alignment to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You're going to watch darkness increase. You're watching darkness shall cover the whole world, and exceedingly gross darkness people. Where such darkness and depravity, it will begin to be like Isaiah 5, they will call darkness light, and they will call light darkness. They will call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. They will call evil good and good. This is depravity to the degree that they hate you for holding on to the word. They despise the Bible. They despise the word. They despise the name of Jesus. They despise the blood. Any religion is accepted, but not the blood. This is a promise. The Bible says that they will do this. It's a sign of the end of an age, an end of an era, not the end of the world. For the Bible says that this darkness will come, and gross darkness, exceedingly deception, it going to come, and it will be depravity. Now listen to me. Listen. You know you are in a crazy generation when they are lobbying and trying to get support for pedophilia to be treated as a condition, not a disease to be dealt with swiftly. They're trying to make inclusion of everybody and everything, even pedophilia, which means the abuse of children. You're born that way. The devil is a liar. There is still righteousness in the land. There are still people who believe the word. There are still people full of the Holy Ghost who will not bow their knee to Baal, who cannot be bought, who will not be bribed, who do not have their hand in the cookie jar, who are not living double lives. They are doing their best to walk in the word and to live in the word. And God is going to raise that generation up, that while darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord, I want you to see that word. But the Lord, I want you to put that. But the Lord in the come. But God, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That while all of this craziness is happening, God's glory is being seen upon you. You are God's solution. I am God's answer. The remnant of God, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that is who you are. You are called to preserve the earth. Salt is a preservant, a preservative. You will preserve. You're gonna be light. God said, you are that light. What's taking place in the earth? Verse number 3. God wants you to realize, but the Lord will arise upon you, and the nations will come to your light, and the kings will come to the brightness of your rising. I don't have time to read it all. You keep reading, it talks about the restoration. Verse 4 talks about now that as nations come to the church. Have you ever seen nations run to the church? Never. Doesn't mean that there hadn't been people that asked for prayer, but I'm talking about the nations running to the church of Jesus Christ. Lift your eyes around about and see, they will gather themselves together. They come to thee, and thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters nurse. I want to tell you, the prodigals are getting ready to come home. You better be in position, sir, that when the prodigals come in, you're ready for what God has. You're ready for what God has. You're ready for the Spirit of God to do what we're called to do. Lift your eyes around and see according to the Lord. They're coming. Verse 5 tells us, this isn't the word, but verse 5 says that, then thou shalt flow together, and your heart shall be, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance shall be converted to thee, and the forces of nations will come. I'm not going to get into all this. You can read this. It tells of a restoration of cities. It tells of a kingdom assignment. I need you to go with me to Psalms 83, verse 14. Here's what God told me to tell you. He said, as the mountains are burning with fire, it is a sign that I'm about to burn on the high places. My fire, so I'm in Southern California, and we're surrounded at the moment, and they're working hard, but we're surrounded by three, maybe four, who knows how many more now. Fires are surrounding us. It's dark outside in some places. And I'm looking to the mountain and there's fire. I'm looking to the next mountain and there's fire. I'm looking behind me and I believe they can look up how many fires are burning in the area. They're going to give me that number in a moment. But they're burning on the mountain. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm talking, son. Pay attention. I said, yes, sir. Tell me what it is. Here's what I heard. Psalms 83 and verse 14. They're pulling up a little map. One to the south, one to the north, one to the east, that we're being surrounded by fires on mountains. And it's not stopping. They're adding that. That's fine. They've got a line fire, a major fire. They put that up there. That's fine. That's in order. A bridge fire. These are three major fires, and we're right in the middle. Riverside is right in the middle. And the Holy Ghost said, pay attention to what I'm telling you. I said, yes, sir. What are you telling me? He said, I'm about to put fire on mountains. I'm about to purge mountains. You can move it now. I'm about to release my glory. Go back to verse number one of Psalms 83. Let me read this to you. God said, I'm about to purge high places. My fire is about to touch the high places in America, in UK, in South Africa, in Pakistan. God said, here is what is, he said, just read this to the people and receive this by the Holy Ghost. You say, that's not happening in my reason. It may not be, but I hear the word of God, and God said it's coming to your reason. Not fire naturally, Holy Ghost fire. God is about to burn on the mountains and purify us from the plan of the wicked to destroy South Africa, to destroy America, to destroy London and UK, to destroy regions and cities. God has a plan. Here is Asaph. Keep not thou silent. Psalms 83, do not keep silent. That means you got to open your mouth. Keep not silent. Now the Bible, again, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and the New Testament is written in Greek and Aramaic. But when you are looking for greater interpretation, you're going to have to get to the Hebrew. A psalm of David, a song or a psalm of Asaph, and the word Asaph means gatherer. Listen by the Spirit. There is a song that's going to gather everything you need. The people, the resource, the power. There's a prophetic cry coming out of you that God is going to send to you people and places and resources for the vision. You're not going to have to pay for the next building, Apostle. You're not going to have to pay. God is going to take care of the expansion. God is going to send provision. God is going to fund it. All you're going to have to do is sing the song of the Lord. Keep now not thou silent. Open your mouth and say what thus says the Lord. Don't complain. Don't get bitter. Don't get tired. Open your mouth. Don't keep silent. Now the first, oh God, is the word Elohim, which deals with God. H430. God, keep not silent. Let God begin to speak. He is speaking. Hold not your peace and be not still, oh God. Now the second, oh God, is El, but it's God-like one of man of rank or heroes. It is H410. So it's not God, it's the God-like ones. That's us. We're like God, the judges of men, it says. L, 410, God-like, mighty one, mighty men, men of rank, heroes. Could be angels, but let me encourage you. God is saying something, and we're going to have to say something. I said, God is saying something, and you're going to have to open your mouth and say something. Don't hold your peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, my enemies have made a tumult. They that hate me have lifted up their head. That word head is rosh, and it is principle. It is time before time. These enemies have lifted. Now, let me remind you, these enemies are not people. They are spirits controlling people. So I don't hate the people that are trying to destroy America. I don't hate the people. You listening, I pray that God delivers some of these people and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. So my enemy is not flesh and blood. I've got there's an enemy. The Bible says, who is the enemy of my soul? And this enemy is, he's a thief, and he comes to steal, and he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. The enemies have made a tumult. The word tumult is a growl. It's a murmur. It's a rage against us. Look at verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against God's people. We don't even realize it. That they're making plans against the people of God. The devil hates covenant. He hates Israel and he hates the church of Jesus Christ because we've got a covenant. The devil despises covenant. And so they've taken crafty, wicked counsel, subtle counsel, assembly, plans, and against thy hidden ones or thy anointed ones, thy treasure, God's precious people. Keep reading. They said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. They hate the church of Jesus Christ and they hate Israel. Are you listening to me? This is not a coincidence or a happenstance happening. This is prophecy being fulfilled. There are powers and forces in high places that God says, I'm about to deal with. And I need my church to understand the season and the time. The tabernacle of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moabites, the Harganes, the Jebel. I'm not going to interpret all of these names. Verse 10, which perished. Verse 11, the nobles of Oreb and Zebeb, the princes. So he begins to... I want to encourage you to study the meaning of these names. You'll find them in the American systems, in governments, in political parties, pushing demonic and devilish agendas. Agendas to steal and kill and stop America and stop UK and stop South Africa. It's the same demon that hates the Bible. It hates the word. It hates the blood. It hates the name of Jesus. It's a force. Are you listening to me? Verse number 12. Here we are. They said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God as our possession. They want the altars. They want to shut down the church forever. You say, well, it was... No. They are afraid of the General Assembly. There is one power that keeps the Antichrist from manifesting, which is already in the earth. The Bible says the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. He that denies that Jesus is Lord is Antichrist. That spirit is already here. Now, the man of perdition will reveal himself at an appointed time. The Antichrist person will... But what keeps it is the church of Jesus Christ. Our general assembly, our gathering, who we are, but what we do when we come together. The prayers of the saints, the Holy Ghost in us keeps this darkness at bay. The devil can't do what he wants to do in London because you're there. The devil can't do what he wants to do in South Africa because you're there. The devil can't do what he wants to do in Riverside in Los Angeles because I'm here. Why? Because there's somebody in me, not me, but who I serve and what's on my life. The Bible says, if there's light in the region, will I find faith in the earth? They said, let's stop the houses of God. Let's break them asunder. You see, there is one power that makes the devil's knees knock like typewriter keys. There is one force that makes demons cry and devils run. There is one force that interrupts the plans of wickedness. One world government outside of God. That's what they've always wanted. They want dominion over men. They want to bring slavery. They want to enslave us. They want to take our Bibles. They want to remove the name of Jesus. They want to remove the speaking of the blood. They want to destroy family. They want to murder the unborn in the womb. This is the agenda, not black or white or brown or what color I am, what color y'all. No, sir, here by the Holy Ghost. The agendas of God. Now, no party has it all together, but you got to know what God is saying and who he's with and who he's not. Not because I'm brown, I go with I'm brown and down and I'm black and I got pride. You got to go with the Holy Ghost. I'm first a kingdom man of God. Before I'm brown, I'm a kingdom citizen. Before I'm Mexican, before I'm Latino, I'm bought with the blood and my loyalty is to the Bible and the word of God and the scriptures and the kingdom. I'm a kingdom citizen. Are you listening to me? I don't mean to get angry, but I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, this is what's being plotted right now. While the church is sleeping, God said, wake up and rise and stand on your post and seek my face and pray, and I will heal the land. They took counsel against the houses of God. the true. See, not every house makes the devil afraid. Is your house a house of prayer? Is your house a house of fasting? Is your house a house of worship? Are you listening? Are we seeker friendly or are we kingdom seekers? Do we make people feel good or are we after making God feel good? Nothing wrong with people feeling well. We want you to be healed, but we're not here for man. We're here for God. We're building an altar. We're a light in the world. We're on our post. We're on prayer watches. We're fasting. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. The outcome has been determined, but we must fight the battle in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, verse 13, oh my God, this is Elohim, the big L. Not the like ones. This is Elohim, not 410, 430. Make them like a wheel. Make them, they move, a wheel turns in the same place. Make them turn in the same place. Make them go after their, make like a dog chasing their tail. Make them like a, let them run in a circle. Let them not fulfill the plan and the plot to destroy the church, to take away the Bible. Let them not feel the plan. You think, well, that'll never happen to us, and we'll never see that in the UK, and we'll never see that in South Africa, and America will never see what's happening in China, where Bibles are illegal and the church is underground, and we're persecuted for the name of Jesus. You got to sneak Bibles into the country. This is what the devil wants in all nations. Global domination outside of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of God is dominion over the earth. The kingdom of Satan is dominion over other men. Slavery. It's not of God. It's not God's will. God says, I want to bring freedom by the Holy Ghost. Make them as a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, that when now the stubble and the ashes as the wind blows, blow their plot in the sky. Blow their agenda out, expose what was said and what was done. Blow their agenda like the wind blows. The stubble, the ashes of what's left. God said, I want to blow this. I want to use the chaff. I want to blow the chaff. I'm looking for weed. I'm not looking for chaff, God said. I'm looking for those with substance. I'm not looking for those who blow like the wind and who don't have the power to remain, who don't have staying power. I'm looking for rock believers. I'm looking for steadfast men and women of God who can hold their peace and they can go to the hand of the Pharaoh and command them to let my people go. You're not asking, you're telling them, thus says the Lord, God is with me. You will let go of the people of God or else. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Elijah put his finger in the face of Ahab and said, you better get Jezebel out of that house. You better break down the altars of Baal or else. You say, I can't. No. There's no other thing prophets are supposed to do. We're not supposed to just preach good messages and stroke other people's ego and prophesy houses and cars and money and blessing. And nothing wrong with that. But you're supposed to prophesy the course of a nation. You're supposed to be like the sons of Issachar that hear the secrets of the bedchambers of enemies and expose the plans of devils and demons to destroy America, to destroy your land. This is God's plan, to raise you up, to rebuke demonic forces in the earth, not just speak behind closed doors. He wants to raise up real prophets, not just people who can tell you your last name. Most of them finding it on Facebook anyway. These Facebook prophets are going online to find your information online and telling you what's on your Facebook page, and you're crying over information that they got online. Not all of them, a lot of them. Help us, God. Verse number 14. As fire burns wood, and as flame sets on the mountains like fire, so persecute them with wind and make them afraid. Here is what God is saying. I'm going to release my glory and my power. I'm going to cause, the word persecute means make run, pressure to flee. The job of persecution is to make, God is going to make enemies run. I'm done now. I'm about to pray with you. Feel their faces, verse 16, might as well finish. Feel their faces with shame that seek thy name, that they may seek thy name. Feel their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord, the existent one, Jehovah. Let shame come to those who try to divide the house of God. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Let them be put to shame and perish. God is going to confuse enemies. And I'll remind you, enemies are not people. They are not political parties, though demons are in political parties. You just got to pick up the Bible and read the Bible. If that political party hates the Bible, hates the word, you shouldn't affiliate. No. The word of God is your guide. Well, no one fits at all. Correct. No one fits at all. But which is going to push the agendas of the kingdom and the Bible, the principles of the word of God? Verse number 18. Last verse. That men may know that you, whose name alone is Jehovah, are in the midst and you are high over all the earth. I've got to pray now. I heard the Lord say, fires are going to burn on mountains. God said, I'm lighting on fire mountains. Mountains are high places. And there's going to be fire. You say, well, that's just happening in Southern California. That's what God said. He said, you're going to watch what's happening in this region happen around the world. This is why we take no pleasure in men of God being exposed. We take no joy when leaders and fathers of the faith are being found in scandals. But before this scandal ever became public, they were given multiple opportunities to repent, and they didn't. It doesn't just make it to the news. You fall once and then it's in the newspaper. Usually that's not how it goes. Usually they've turned it into a lifestyle, and they've lost the fear of God. So we do not rejoice when leaders of the faith fall, when fathers who have built legacies have now turned to perversion, to compromise, to impurity over money, impurity over sexuality, impurity over power and intention. But God says, I'm lighting mountains on fire, and it's starting in the church, but it's going to head to the government, and it's going to head to business mountains, and it's going to head through Hollywood again. I'm lighting the mountains on fire. I'm purifying the tops of the mountains. Even your ministry, I hear it by the Spirit. I'm cleansing the leadership. I'm lighting fire on the mountain. And those that can endure are going to remain. Those that have to remove, God will bring them back another time for another glory and a lesser move. But God said, those that can endure the fire, those that can remain in the fire, God said, I'm going to use them like I used the bush that was on fire to free a generation. I've got to pray with you. I'm just about done. Hear me by the Spirit. The Lord said, this is going to happen in South Africa. Hear it. Mark it. Going to happen in UK. Going to happen in the United States. Going to happen in states, in counties, regions. God is lighting on fire. Be excited. For what's done in the dark is about to manifest on the mountaintop. What's been done in secret is going to be revealed opening. And for some, that is celebration and that is rejoicing because they've done well in secret. God's going to reward them openly. For some that have not repented over a long period of time, it's a judgment. It's not because God doesn't love them. It's a decision. But I pray that repentance come. God, I pray right now over your leaders listening to the sound of my voice that you would strengthen your men and women. God, I pray according to your word that we would have ears to hear, for you desire to release glory and fire on the mountains. It is your desire to burn in the high places. And God, I ask you, Lord, by your will, bring low what men has exalted and bring high what you desire, whom you desire. God, you raise up one and you remove another. This is your doing and not ours. And we will not fight you when you're removing. We will not be angry with you. We will trust your timing. God, I pray also that those hearing my voice would hear you and obey what you're saying. God, there's an appointed time. And I pray that you cover these people now, for many are leaders that are supposed to lead in this generation. They are called to be heads. Business owners, ministers, preachers, apostles, teachers, heads of state, government officials. They are called to steward in Hollywood, in music industry. They are called to be leaders in their field. But God, let us do it for your glory, with your integrity, with your purity, that you would be glorified and not put to shame by those who you raise up in this season. Finish in us what we need to be developed so that your name can be exalted, that your promise can remain, that you would get glory and honor. And I declare that these fires on the mountain, that these fires that are taking place in different parts of the world, let it bring your glory and your power and your purpose to pass, and let it confound those who've taken counsel against God and God's anointed. those who've taken counsel against God and they said, we will possess the house of God. We will throw down the altars of Baal, well, of Jehovah. The devil is a liar. They want to raise up altars to Baal and remove altars of Jehovah. The devil is a liar. There are some that will overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony because they have not loved their life unto death. They're willing to give it all for this purpose. And because this, they will walk in power and favor in glory. This we seal. And this we agree upon. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you agree with the man of God, somebody say amen, amen, and amen. Bless you, Mary. Yes, finishing power. Remember this principle. Bless you, Sister Peggy, Sister Violet, Sister Mary. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but those that endure to the end. Finishing power, staying power. You're going to, bless you, Sister Gingy. You're going to complete your assignment. Sherelle, God bless you. Apostle, so good to see you again. You're going to complete, you're going to finish well. You're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, son and daughter of God. Enter into the joy of the Lord with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That shall be your reward. You will receive your crown, for you will finish your course and you will run your way. So henceforth is a crown of righteousness waiting for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.